to see what's going on. Notice the hashtag that was blowing up my feed. Gotta say it sounded fun. Watching films from 89 with all my favorite folks online. A Twitter festival with friends around the globe. No fancy evening wear required. In a t-shirt, fuzzy sweatpants and a robe, you'll be appropriately attired. Kick back and put up your feet, 'cause all you need to do is tweet. Sing it la 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 la. F this movie fest. La 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 la. Feeling hashtag blessed to be part of the best community of lovers of the super screen. Don't change the channel. First film is UHF, full of Weird Al gags and songs. Drink from the fire hose, spin the wheel of fish, then we'll dine on Twinkie dogs. Will George and Stanley save the day? And how much poker will he play? We sing it la la. This movie fest, la 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 la. Feeling hashtag blessed to be part of the best community of lovers on the super screen. And now here's Tango and Cash, two cops who acted rashly, but they got results and found Jack Palance's stash of drugs and guns. Then he finds a way to put them behind. Did I mention it stars Kurt Russell and Sylvester suspect. His wacky neighbors aren't quite what they appear. You just might laugh yourself to death. Don't go into the house alone to dig up Dante's body. Lovers of the super screen. After dinner, Patrick Swayze will appear in the roadhouse looking buff. He's got no problem if you want to grab a beer, but pick a fight and he'll get tough. Might grab your throat and rip it out like Crow T. Robots hang out. Day turns into night, now Batman's on the prowl in his stiff black rubber suit. It's Michael Keaton hiding underneath the cowl. Prince's soundtrack is a hoot. Joker's got the crazy eyes. Spoiler, in the end he dies. We're all singing la la. To be part of the best community of lovers of the super screen. La 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 la. At this movie fest. La 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 la. At this movie fest.
Everybody, are we live?
Hi.
Hey. Hello.
We think that we are now live. We hope that we are now live for our post FBIS Movie Fest podcast.
What
it has been confirmed.
Now, happening now.
Hello. Whoa. And welcome to the podcast.
Reflecting the mirror.
This is very exciting. Happy FBIS Movie Fest, everybody. Yes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is our post FBIS Movie Fest 2018 podcast. My name is Patrick Bromley, joined here in the FBIS Movie Fest headquarters by Adam Thaz. Mark on.
How's it going?
Adam Risky.
Hello.
Philly Rob. JB.
Hello.
Jan B.
A polar bear fell on me.
And working the camera right now and soon to be on camera, we hope, is Erica Bromley.
Yay!
Hello, and thank you for filming us. I don't know. Just, yeah, let somebody else.
Yep. There you go.
So hi, and thanks for tuning in, and we're sorry about the delay. We were trying to put this out live on our YouTube channel and ran into a number of difficulties with that, but thank you for sticking around. I'm sorry those of you who, it's like the middle of the night for some people, or, you know, very early morning. I know we had people participating worldwide, but thank you for hanging in there. This was our seventh FBIS Movie Fest, celebrating the films of 1989.
Yeah. What?
It was a lot of fun, so we will just go around and talk for a few minutes about each of the movies that we watched, and maybe name a favorite, and maybe take some questions. If people are people commenting at all,
Carolyn Kent is watching.
Thank
Robin
you,
Buckley
Carolyn
hi,
Kent.
Hi, Robin.
Hi, Robin.
Hi,
Robin.
Robin, of course.
Hi, Luke.
All right, you don't have to tell us. Everybody
Luke.
Says hi, but
help
just
out, Luke.
If we
hi,
have
Luke.
Questions.
Tristan.
We can answer some questions later on, Rose, but
Percy Chaby, Eric Eschersleger,
okay.
Gunther. Okay,
it's the whole crowd.
Yeah. so anyway, thank you guys for tuning in very much. We started things off this year with UHF.
Yes.
Yes.
Couple of people that were watching with us, it was their first time seeing UHF, and it played very, very well, as I suspected it would.
He knows what he's doing.
listen, I try, you know, I do the best I can. I guess let's just go around and talk highlights. I don't, who knows how long this podcast will be, but let's go around and just talk highlights. Adam Thaz, what was the highlight of the festival for you? And also, how do you end up going first every year?
I don't know. I
you
purposely
find
sat
the seat,
with a chair next to me here.
And then everything went to shit, and Erica had to pick
exactly.
up the iPad and film, because she's
like,
a trooper. And now you're first again,
you
so deal
A's
with
for
it.
Adam.
No, I just don't get I was like,
Adam
I'm not going to sit next to Patrick this year, because he's going to ask me first, and
yeah,
the
you
house
must.
Empty.
you must.
I will say I think the highlight for me was Tango and Cash. I had a lot of fun watching that movie with all of you, and I had not seen it in a very, very, very long time. So to be able to see it and be able to experience it was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. Where are the new comments at the top or at the bottom? Who knows things?
I'm not really sure. Hi, Doug.
Doug's watching, Doug. So we're good.
Well, it's only like 5 o'clock in the afternoon over in California right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I have no idea. So we're going to try to watch the comments, and I'll try to respond to stuff if possible.
That's right now, fine. Doug is being served sandwiches by his pool.
What's a pool?
Mark, what was your favorite of the podcast?
I think
or of the festival, I should say.
I think my favorite. I love all of these movies. UHF was my first time watching it, actually, which I didn't follow my own advice by this shouldn't be your first watch of things, but if it is, it's fine. But out of the other ones, which I'd seen before, I think Roadhouse was my favorite experience, because mm-hmm. I think it's such a ridiculous movie with ridiculous energy, and it's just about a guy and a bar. And they don't make show.
Is it, though?
Is
that all it's about?
We were talking about how they don't. It's impossible to make a show about just a bar anymore. That was such an 80s kind of thing that, like, you could never. Like, you'd get laughed out of a studio if you were going to try to make a show about, like, a bar. How about a guy? How about a bouncer? Let's make a show about a bouncer. No one.
Isn't It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia about a bar?
Kind of. It's really about three idiots. Rob is our Philadelphia expert, so maybe.
I can confirm it's about three idiots.
Okay. But also about a bar.
Tangentially about
Aren't there five characters on that show?
Five idiots.
Yeah. It's five. Okay, my bad. But like, you know, I was thinking about Cheers. Like, Cheers is a show about a bar. But
yeah.
Like, that would never. I don't know. I just feel like it would never. So Roadhouse was awesome. It was my favorite part.
The first time I saw Roadhouse, I was watching it at a bar. So we're just going further down the deep.
That's
Holy
perfect.
Cow.
That's the kind of movie
reflecting itself, right?
Exactly.
It's the kind of movie you should see in a bar. Actually, it's great. It's fantastic. I loved everything about it.
I've never been to a bar that's anything like Roadhouse.
No,
no, you shouldn't either.
Few and far between. Yeah,
count yourself as lucky.
Yeah,
you probably shouldn't.
It was stressing me out just in the movie. The amount of chaos in the bar. I wouldn't have lasted 5 minutes in that bar.
Having somebody who's worked in a number of bars,
we get it. You're an alcoholic.
I don't. I get a little crazy.
Right, that's different than working at a bar. I'm just saying.
Adam, what was your favorite?
I think this time around, The Burbs.
Interesting. I like that we've had all different answers so far.
Every movie worked really well, I think, this year in the context of the festival.
Thank you.
I noticed different things in different movies, but the one that kind of had the biggest accelerator for me was... In The Burbs, I kept wondering, I'm just like, this movie is like Rear Window, and I never noticed that. And
Okay.
I like that it's, it was just kind of so contained, it was almost like this bottle episode type of thing, and it I just appreciated it more than I ever have, and I always liked it, but UHF is always like consistently amazing, and then Tango Cash was good to see again, a second time, but yeah, the one that really kind of jumped out at me was The Burbs, and I think part of it had to do with my Twitter was acting up all weird all day.
Mine too.
I couldn't get a lot of people's tweets, and I don't think mine were going out to too many people, so I kind of stopped in the middle of Tango and Cash and really just started watching the movies, and I apologize to everybody out there, but all the great tweets I was going to be sending remained at HQ, and they went over like gangbusters.
Oh, yeah.
He showed us, guys.
Yeah.
He just kept handing us post-its.
Yeah.
It might have been the greatest couple hours in Twitter history.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, barn burners. Especially during Roadhouse, where barns were literally burning.
Yeah. I appreciated you still using the hashtag on the post-its.
Yes.
Because the ones where you didn't, or the ones where you wrote F this move fest, I just crumpled up. And
we threw it away.
Yeah. Talk about the carpal tunnel. No masturbating tomorrow.
Wow.
Well, you're really going into this.
You have to take a sick day from your sick
days. It's a day of rest.
I noticed it here, especially being here, there was a lot of, like, someone would say something. We'd be like, tweet that. I'm like, no, we're going to keep it here. It's gonna belong to us. So we apologize.
You're a snob. Yeah.
We're at this movie bourgeois.
Yeah.
Those were the private tweets.
That's right.
Those were the Patreon tweets.
Oh, that's right. Shoot, I forgot to announce early on that if you were a Patreon subscriber, you got exclusive tweets. Just kidding, everyone. We don't have a Patreon. We do not have a Patreon.
We send them to you on paper wrapped in a little ribbon.
They're called letters.
Basically.
Yeah.
J-Bones, what was your favorite?
Wait, Rob.
No.
Oh, Rob.
I really don't.
Rob.
No, go. You skipped Out of Town, Mark on?
Yeah. that was not on purpose, Rob.
I'm local Rob, guys.
Go ahead. Philly Rob.
I would say that I had the most fun with Tango and Cash. Not to break the cycle and say them different, but. And I also want to reiterate what I said to Patrick earlier, which is I think The Burbs is the best example of a great F This Movie Fest movie that I wasn't sure about going into, especially in the three spot, because we talked about, like, the three spot is the pivot for the night. And you know, like, last year was Raising Arizona, which is, like, we were all, like, gushy and mushy after Raising Arizona last year. But, and a lot of people, I think, hadn't seen The Burbs before, not here, but, like, in the feed. And I think it was a really good example of a movie that's enough of, it's enough substance and enough fun to, like, bring everybody's energy levels back up again. And then going into Roadhouse, everyone was, like, primed, I thought, anyway.
Yeah.
So I think I had the most fun with Tango and Cash, but I think The Burbs is the best example of he knows what he's doing.
Is that me that you're talking about?
That's you.
But that's after I just skipped you.
I mean, you know.
We won't talk about
Rob
it.
Rob is a forgiving type.
He knows that he's slipping.
Yeah. How about you, Jen? See what I did?
Yokes, everybody, yokes.
Go ahead, Jamie.
Beyond Tango and Cash and Roadhouse, which were very fun because it's a very specific type of action movie that was fun to watch with a lot of people, either live at HQ or virtually. My favorite part was UHF because, A, we were all fresh, and so many people on the Twitter machine were unfamiliar with UHF, and reading their tweets, you could see them have a reaction to it at the beginning. This is low budget and kind of silly. And a lot of them sort of thought it was stupid, and not to single anyone out, but there was a lot of tweets like, is there a plot here, please? And then as the film went on, I think people warmed to what it is, which is very low budget, but really, really funny and not really mean-spirited. Conan slicing someone in two aside. In fact, I was looking at the end when Kevin McCarthy falls in a crying heap into the homeless man's arms, who has the homeless man has bankrupted him in essence, and then the homeless man comforts him. So again, there's this sweetness there, and it was really great on Twitter to see people warming up to just how funny it is. It's really funny. There's lots of jokes, and I like a show with jokes.
You do? Okay, is it me?
It's you, Jen.
I would have to say I've never seen Tango and Cash before, and so that was a tremendous amount of fun, but I've only seen parts of Roadhouse.
Was it the most quotable movie of the day?
Possibly. Possibly, but also I thought Roadhouse was very quotable, and I loved, like, it kind of takes a swerve. Like, it starts as one thing, then takes this swerve, and you're like, well, all right, and then it kind of...
They push Dalton to his breaking point.
Right?
His throat ripping point.
It starts as a bar and then it ends as about like America. It's pretty great.
It starts with shit kicking and then it becomes throat ripping.
Yes.
That's the dichotomy.
Good tagline.
That needs to go on a shirt.
Tweeting. That was on the poster in Iceland.
My favorite of the day was probably Tango and Cash, just because it's so ridiculous that you almost can't keep up with it. I wouldn't say it wasn't the best movie we watched today.
Oh, no.
And UHF was, I think, maybe the most successful in terms of turning people on to stuff. Mm-hmm. And our kids got to be here, and my son really likes it, and he was laughing really hard, which was fun, you know, to see him react to it. But I mean, Tango and Cash is so dumb and so great. It's so dumb and so great. Somebody want to take it?
No.
Do you want to just say
I
it off?
I offered
mic?
To take it, and yeah, she was like, "No,
she was
I
not
don't
having
want
it."
To.
All right.
No.
What
I'm
was your favorite, Bew?
Behind the camera. Gosh, why do I have to pick a favorite? I like them all, but
because everyone else just did.
Yeah. Well, I'm not like everyone else.
Wow.
I'm proud to say I like them all. Come on.
I like them all, but I'm going to talk about Batman because, like, all of the waves of nostalgia came back to me, and I was a kid, and everything was great, and I love the music so much. And like Adam Faz, I have not been Prince, and I have not performed as Prince, but I have danced to Prince.
You were Prince.
But I'm a huge Prince fan, and so when that movie came out, it was such a big deal, and I just loved it so much, and so hearing even the beginning of the movie, it was like, that feeling came over me, and I was just so happy to
that Proustian
watching.
Moment.
Yes.
Da 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 da. Da 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 da. I'll avoid the obvious joke.
What was a common theme, or what did you guys notice about the movies of 1989? Watching five in a row today.
I think that there's just a certain level of like flexibility in what they could do, where it doesn't
like Swayze being very flexible.
Yeah, he's doing his, like, you know, kata routine,
his tai chi. How weird too that like he's doing all this tai chi and he's like a health nut and he's so ripped, but then he smokes for half the movie.
I think that's just because Swayze smokes.
Do you think he's just a man of contrast?
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, you know, throw a rip in the sunset and everything.
Yeah,
no, it was just like, you know, most movies that kind of come out in wide release nowadays are, you kind of know the formula, where this one seemed to have more creative spontaneity in a lot of the cases, or just like artistry. So like even Batman, which I think is so much more a nostalgia piece than like a good movie. There's just so much like impressive technical craftsmanship going on. And it's kind of nice to see, so if I counterpoint it with like, say, Black Panther, it's like, it's nice to see all of the art direction and like the different types of technical craft that was in 89 that I think is arguably better than the stuff in Black Panther, but everything like regarding performances and story and a lot of those other things are better nowadays in certain things like Black Panther.
I think I think
it turns out that Patrick Swayze just he misinterpreted women on the set saying he was smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason.
Does anybody else have a joke that you want to go back to?
Yeah, we do.
Some electricity, pizza, and big hair have all been named as common threads.
Like,
also,
silver hair,
lots of great
like, corporate
hair
executives.
Like Rambo jokes. Yeah. There's a lot of Rambo references.
Rambo.
I think I'm going to go with bathrobes. Was a very common theme.
Nightgowns.
Except for UHF, a certain mean-spiritedness that in the 80s, I don't know, it's a very specific type of, even in the Burbs, there's some nasty stuff that's presented unrepentantly.
Okay.
I don't know about it. I don't know whether it's mean-spirited, though, or whether it's just willing to push things a little farther than we can today.
Dark.
Yeah, a little darkness. And I noticed, at least in these five movies of 1989, everyone in them is like totally committing. Like,
yeah.
I'm thinking of Stanley Spadowski and like, I'm just.
Yeah.
Stallone?
Stallone. He's. Say which one. He's like, he wants to be this guy every minute
of
this movie.
The best Stallone I've ever seen in Tango and Cash.
Yeah.
And some of the worst Stallone.
Almost all
of
the worst Stallone.
Except for the scene where he has to act crazy. He's so good in the scene where he has to be crazy.
But he wants to be good in that movie.
Well, someone who had this idea that he would be the sophisticated one.
Right, that it's
him
trying
to not
typecast.
Yeah, he probably had
the
idea.
Right. Sure. And I don't want to see Kurt Russell play that part. Like, I want to see Kurt Russell play Cash.
Though
but
Kurt Russell could play Tango better than Stallone.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
But
Cash is a gift.
The movie will be better with two Kurt Russell.
How about if they Freaky Fried it?
We need a movie called Cash and Cash. It's about the Cash brothers.
The Cashes.
And then the sequel could be called Cash and Carrie.
We saw a lot of butts today.
Butts were the theme. Mostly down here in the basement, though.
Yeah.
Rob couldn't keep his pants on.
When I noticed,
Mike Pomero, I'm looking at you.
When I noticed my tweets weren't going through, I just started.
Cut the most of it.
I take out a dollar bill, his pants come off.
It's okay. Sorry. It's past.
To go along with what Adam was saying before about the movies being. And pants was. That the movie seems so different and creative. And I think part of it is that it's like these movies aren't like this. I mean, except for Batman, maybe. They don't fit like this perfect, like all hit all the demographics. Everything has to be sort of perfectly aligned and measured. They were just like, let's just make this movie. Let's just make this crazy movie about a weirdo guy making satirical TV commercials. Let's make this one about a guy, a bouncer at a bar. Let's make one about these, about Sylvester Stallone playing a, I don't know what he's playing. I don't know what he's playing. It's like what a crazy homeless person would think like a stockbroker is what Stallone is playing. But like that
do
stuff doesn't come in anymore.
Think about stockbrokers?
Yeah, they do.
Constantly.
They do. They do.
Because they use the newspaper, the Wall Street Journal as their blankets.
I just see them as human beings. No.
Not without homes.
That's true.
I think newspaper headlines is also like a theme. Like newspaper stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's sad that newspapers are more important.
Someone tweeted, remember print?
We're like, what?
Ooh.
Huh?
That's dark.
Newspaper.
I said no as I scrolled through my phone all day.
Newspaper?
I will say, not a common theme, but more than any of the other years that we've done at this movie fest, I was very jarred by like just how things have changed socially. I think the example I'll use is when Michael Keaton's talking to Kim Basinger and like pushes her down and like tells her to shut up, and I was like, oh, that's a dick move, you know, and it just kind of
you were Batman.
Yeah, right. Like I just remember seeing that as a kid, and that never struck me. And now watching it as an adult, I was like, oh, that I didn't like that, you know.
I had that same reaction a couple times today. Hi guys, Adam. Just like what you said.
and thinking, okay, so this is hopeful, right? That we hopefully are continually making changes in different ways, and that we don't just become, it's not normal to just see women talk to a certain way or treated a certain way, right? And Dina and Carolyn and Nora Kay were here earlier and they left, but they were saying similar things, just about we don't need to have that shot of a woman anymore in movies. We don't need to have, you know, it was just so custom. It was just normal to treat women and talk to women a certain way. So it's good to, hopefully those things, right, are getting better.
Roadhouse reminded me that a certain type of film used to have a lot more gratuitous nudity than today. I think
gratuitous.
She was dancing to a song. It wasn't like she was dancing to no song.
True. She was one also of the wearing underpants.
There's nothing that band won't play through.
They're very professional.
Girl dancing, giant fight.
They're very professional.
Could the fact that the bar lead singer exploding is blind have something to
I mean,
do with
I, maybe.
But the film was suggesting he was also deaf, because surely you'd know there's a large fight going on here. Maybe
and there's
we should take
at least
now
three other members of the band who could have just put a hand on his shoulder and been like, you know what, we got to... Buddy. We gotta cool it.
But
for
were
just
they
a second
were caught in that jam. You don't just
that's
stop.
Right. You don't
jam
just stop.
Maybe their music takes their off music was their shield. That's what was protecting them from the flying broken bottles.
Yeah,
we're onto something here.
Like the guys on the Titanic. You know, just playing on the deck. Like, look, if this bar's going down, man, we are gonna take it out.
Yeah, it didn't protect
I
the guys
when
on the
halfway
Titanic
through Roadhouse, the lead singer said, "Gentlemen, it's been an honor playing with you."
Music, I think, was a real common theme too in terms of what people were talking about on Twitter. That everyone commented at least once on every movie's music. Roadhouse, I think, had the music that's like the least like what I'm into, but the Jeff Healey songs are fun and they're playing them live and that's cool. But the Batman score, the Harold Faltermeyer score for Tango and Cash, the score for The Burbs, the songs in UHF, that other movie we watched, did I name them all?
You got them all, yeah. Good job.
I thought I only put up four fingers, but it's been a long day.
A lot of people thought the semi-obligatory music video in UHF was jarring. But again, in the 80s, that happened a lot. There'd be a sequence not quite as obvious as what goes on in UHF where it's a dream or something. But that happened a lot in 80s movies.
Sure. The jarring's okay if like you come out of it entertained by what you were jarred by. Like, I don't think being some... And I'm not answering it to you, but like just in general, I think like people sometimes take too much of a, you know, are taken aback too much by being surprised by a movie. It's like you might come out of it liking it more than what you had in your head.
And there was a lot of people on Twitter who seemed to not be familiar with the Dire Straits music video that that Weird Al was making fun of.
And I had that, like, if I watched Blazing Saddles, like, I didn't know up until a time who Hedy Lamarr was. So, they're like, a lot of those jokes go past me, and, like, I get how people can be kind of taken aback with it.
I was telling Patrick the other day, there's a great documentary, wait for it, it's going to be on TV, about Hedy Lamarr. Yeah. And I went to the Music Box to see it, and they dispensed with the whole Blazing Saddles thing in the first 10 minutes. They got that out of the way because they knew people like me would be sitting there. Oh, it's Hedley. Okay, let's get that out of the way.
Also, it's a Weird Al movie, and he was famous at the time for song parodies and music videos. So I guess it makes sense to include one of those in the movie. If you went to see Purple Rain and Prince didn't play any songs, you'd be like, I don't feel like I got my money's worth.
Wouldn't want to see that movie.
Music videos, but I'm surprised that given how famous he was, that the movie doesn't have more of the song parodies.
Right.
But it has, like, movie parodies.
Right, yeah, it's all...
Oh, yeah.
It's a new media allowing him to to try out different kinds of parodies, and he nails every kind.
Yeah, it's...
He's really funny in that.
Favorite UHF joke?
How can I choose just one?
I think we would all agree, based on the reaction both in down here and on Twitter... Take that ridiculous thing off.
Oh, that's a good one. I do love take that ridiculous thing off.
Me personally, seeing your son Charlie's reaction to "You're so stupid," like
me
that
saying
was
stupid.
Great.
You know, he's small, and kids laugh when people are called stupid.
He whispered to me a minute later and said, "Do you remember when he said stupid?"
That's so weird because Adam did that same thing to me.
Take that ridiculous thing off is UHF's I am serious, and don't call me Shirley. Mm.
I really like the guy asking for change at the beginning. Because it's like an indicator right at the beginning. It's like, this will be smarter than you expect
right,
it to be.
Right.
And it pays off.
Yes.
And that's the thing. Yeah. When you, the other one, like, I've seen that movie 100 times when I was younger, and I haven't seen it in, I don't know, like 10 years. And the, with the blind guy and the Rubik's Cube, I was dying. I was like, oh my God, it's so funny.
Nope.
That was like a
nope.
Pee Wee's Big Adventure joke.
Yeah, right? I was like,
but it's so quick and just,
right.
You know.
Yeah. Just a little joke that they... Mm-hmm. Scan past. I was amazed at the reaction of Fran Drescher's wardrobe online. That was getting a lot of attention.
Have they never seen her in anything else? She
maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. That's I never true. Watched The Nanny, but I have an awareness of Fran Drescher.
Pretty much, yeah.
Today, I also really liked all the Anthony Geary stuff, especially the punchline at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Which, of course, is UHS Large Marge.
Ooh, somebody's taking pictures. Go ahead, Rob.
And for a movie that is made up of gags, it's a really nice. I mean, I shouldn't say that there's no dated pop culture references, but like there are relatively few dated pop culture references in it. I mean, I know the Dire Straits and all that stuff. Like, I get a lot of it, but so much of that stuff still plays. You know what I mean? Because it's take that ridiculous thing off.
I feel like the only thing that doesn't really hold up is that there are no TV stations anymore.
Yeah.
Well, that is a problem. Yeah.
But aside from that...
So many of the Zucker Browns or the Zucker, you know, whatever, like a lot of them are so based on like current pop culture references.
Yeah.
And even the ones that just become like they're not even... It's not even parody or satire. It's just
right.
Here's us imitating celebrities.
Right.
Like, and they die so fast. And
I also think the film is funny enough where even if you didn't live through all those confrontational talk shows like
right.
Morton Downey Jr.
Well, worse
yeah.
now.
Jerry Springer.
But that
Geraldo.
Sequence would still work because
right.
it's so ridiculous and funny with the chair and everything.
Well, like it does the Raiders thing in the beginning. But that's the best I'll put it this way. The best jokes in that movie are, I think, timeless. More like
yeah.
like
yeah.
Take This Ridiculous Thing Off is not you don't have to
yeah.
you know, it doesn't have to
right.
be 1989 for that.
Right.
I don't think.
Is there a real double deuce? Like I
don't know.
I need to look that up.
Yeah.
Like there should be like copycat. Like you can go to Bubblegum
yeah.
Shrimp.
Yeah.
Why can't you go to the Double Deuce?
You know what's a fun place to have a bar fight?
Where?
Bubba Grump Shrimp.
Nice.
Except you have to bring your own nets.
I stripped on the stage there once. I was asked to leave.
Oh.
Right?
I was with you. It was awkward.
You dared me.
Your stripper name was Bow Boy.
There's a lot of ways Patrick can take his clothes off. He could start with his pants. He could start with his shirt. His socks.
He started with his shoes that day. It was a foot thing.
I don't show my feet.
I guess what is Patrick Swayze thinking about during those scenes that would just start with him laying shirtless on the hood of a car or out on his roof? Like, what are you? He's not.
I feel
reading.
Like he's thinking like I'm Patrick fucking Swayze.
Kierkegaard.
Yeah.
I think he's thinking about Kierkegaard.
Solzhenitsyn, probably.
One of the best.
Yeah. I could have been making Tango and Cash right now.
It on right now.
Yes, for sure. The picnic.
One of the best Twitter moments today was during the love scene with Kelly Lynch, how many women were weighing in with how uncomfortable that would be, how you don't want to do that, how you want to... Someone said, put a blanket down, but it did look
very uncomfortable. That was my reaction the last time I watched it, because I was like... When I was a kid, I was like, that's sexy. You can have sex standing up. And then when I saw it as an adult, I was like, that's not nice to just put her against a rock fireplace.
Yeah, it's
that's
true.
Better than Red Sparrow sex was.
Oh.
I haven't seen Red Sparrow, guys.
It's kind of like the showgirls pool scene.
Oh,
bit.
Okay.
Road Sparrow.
I'm into it.
What he's saying is it's decidedly unerotic.
It makes sense when you see Red Sparrow.
Red, wait, did he just do what I thought?
Oh, I did.
Okay. Yeah.
So Red Sparrow for next year's at this movie.
Okay.
Yes.
Perfect. The movies of 2018.
The movies of 2018.
The movies of 2018, guys.
It's going to be strong.
Phantom Thread.
Yeah, well, that was a 2017. But
who knows?
I put Working Girl in the wrong year. So.
Yeah.
People
why?
Yes, to see
it's
her
a Pennsylvania sound.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
all
I hear
right.
it.
I always hear it in the word phone.
Red John?
Whoa.
Phone.
Phone.
Well, you don't have.
Do you guys hear something? Is that English? I have no idea. What is happening?
I had to train myself not to say water.
It just sounds okay. Eerie to me. Water.
That's weird.
Yeah. I trained myself not to say water.
Okay.
So I was like, water?
So, like, after Swayze ripped that dude's throat off, yeah. He fell in the what?
Flawless victory. What? He fell in the water.
He fell in the water.
Oh, okay. And then when the kid drank water from the fire hose in UHF, what came out of the fire hose?
It was water, Patrick. I can't.
Water and phone are the basis of Tina Fey's Philly voice.
Oh, yeah.
The two anchors.
Water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Water.
Yeah. For sure.
Went to the same high school as my mom. Mm. And my dad.
Oh.
Shout out to Tina Fey.
Yay. Hi, Tina.
Hi, Tina.
Do you think she's listening?
Do
you guys need she's listening? My baby mama next to you.
This was the
if
first
you play
year
it, she
that,
will come.
This is the first year we didn't have anyone from the movies tweeting with us.
Right?
Yeah.
A-holes, but we didn't so push
one
it
one person
hard.
Responded to
Emo
a
Phillips.
Tweet. Emo Phillips weighed
oh,
in.
So okay.
Technically.
Okay, we did then. All right, yeah. Take it back.
Yeah. Did we
I?
Have someone the first year? Maybe not. We were so young then.
I don't remember.
It's possible. I don't know. It was 82. I just assume all those people are dead.
Yeah.
First F this movie fest, Patrick was so young, and he had not yet been plucked.
That's right. I think.
He
I don't know.
Plucked, right?
He still had a beard, though.
That's a shout out to Shakespeare in Love.
Let's start sending some questions, those of you paying attention on Facebook, and we'll do our very best to answer them.
Yes.
There was one other thing I wanted to say. Well, I guess to Mark's point about the movies, that they weren't making movies for one specific audience only. Even Tango and Cash, like, wasn't just for dudes watching TNT 15 years later. Like, it was, they tried to just, they made a movie and then they hoped that,
like, somebody will come see it.
Everyone yeah. would be into it. Right. I mean, Roadhouse seems like it's for a very specific audience, but they that's weren't just making a movie for that audience.
Right.
But Roadhouse was a big hit, was it not?
I that's think it was
memory.
A big enough hit.
Something
I don't know.
For guys? For girls?
Right?
For cowboys?
Definitely something for the ladies.
For here, guys and the
question,
girls?
Question.
Guys and the guys.
Question, ladies. There yeah. are two of you here.
Hi, Erica.
Swayze or Sam Elliott?
Why choose, is what I say.
Because that's the question.
Right.
Jan's into some freaky shit.
There's two of us.
Then you guys need to choose between you two.
Oh, shit. That is
a double deuce.
What you're saying.
Double deuce.
Double date, and we'll see you guys.
Oh, no.
Double date.
Double date of the double deuce.
Oh, no.
All right. Tango or Cash?
I'll take
Swayze. Oh, that's easy. That's Cash all the way, man.
You're taking Swayze?
Yeah, I'll take Swayze.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
Like, it's an obligation.
It's an age thing.
It's an age
thing.
I guess.
It's an age thing.
Yeah, remember when...
he showed his butt?
Remember when he was...
Sam, what's his name?
Practicing his moves
Elliot.
And punching. Like, he was, like,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bag,
yeah, you liked
and then
that?
And he had that moment.
Where he hugged
like,
it?
Yeah, he was feeling something,
yeah.
and he kind of hugged the punching bag and put his face on it. I was like, that could be me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so it kind of has blown up with a lot of women saying Cash.
Okay.
And a few votes for Sam Elliott.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't
Roadhouse
know if
was the 40th.
Jan just said Sam Elliott because he's still alive.
I dig that, dude.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
It's pretty sensible.
This shit got dark.
Yeah.
Greg Anderson said Roadhouse was the 40th highest grossing movie of 1989.
40th?
But 1 through 39 were Batman. So Roadhouse did very well.
I might be thinking that, like, the soundtrack was big or something, because I remember that being a thing when it came out.
I mean, I think it showed on cable
it
a
didn't
lot.
Just
yeah,
disappear.
It's
yeah.
forever. Just it's been on cable all the time.
It was definitely a rental staple for me as a kid.
Yeah, I definitely did not see that in 1989. I saw that, like, in college. I saw that after
college.
Oh, no,
I saw it in 1989, but I rented it a lot.
Yeah.
Patrick used to rent it a lot and then at dinner ask his parents if they could put in a fireplace.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
A rough stone fireplace. Please, Mom.
Yes.
A rough, scrapey fireplace.
Roadhouse actually probably fucked me up in a couple different ways because not only was I like, people have sex standing up? But also when the other bouncer gets caught and fired, where he's like, you're going to be my Saturday night thing. I was like, I don't understand. He's standing behind her. they can only be doing one thing. I did not under. So Roadhouse was seminal. Burbs was 34.
Oh, I see what he did there.
Tango and Cash was 20. Tango and Cash killing it. UHF was 105. Greg Anderson coming in with the stats. I'm totally the G Suk Yi right now, aren't I?
Batman was one, right?
That's a Windy City Live just for you. Batman was 1 and 7 and 8 and 9.
Do you think that UHF, it is a movie that is being appreciated, and I think what Shout Factory put it out, right?
Yes, they did.
Do you think it's had that resurgence? Like, we talk a lot about movies that have that resurgence, like the random horror movie, the B-horror
movie.
Gets a, you know, Criterion Edition or whatever. Do you think UHF is being appreciated enough? Like, I feel like...
No.
If UHF... There needs to be more people watching UHF, right?
Yes.
I think it's a pretty substantial cult movie. I don't think it's ever going to not be a cult movie.
So you think like it's not going to like blow up and have a resurgence? It's been consistently enough a cult movie?
I think so. We went to a screening a couple years ago at the Music Box, and Weird Al was going to be there, which of course is a huge draw, but it sold out very, very quickly.
Oh my gosh, wait, how did I forget about that tonight? I should have been tweeting pictures.
Yeah.
But that UHF will never become the Princess Bride.
Correct. Right. Eric Asperschlager asks, wasn't there a podcast about UHF? Why, yes, Eric, there was. You were on it. Stephanie Crawford, also from our site, says she got herself legally adopted by UHF. So that's kind of nice.
Oh, that's incredible.
So
glad
she found a home. UHF was so giving.
A forever home.
It is. But it makes her clean a lot of floors.
That's so nice.
Mark, you or no?
In their defense, they also give you.
No.
You and I have.
We have Roadhouse. We have Batman.
Yeah.
UHF. We don't have the Burbs, and we don't have Tango and Cash.
No.
All right. Well, listen.
We should do a Tango and Cash, but maybe
it's just gonna be me.
It's fine.
Talking
as
Stallone.
Euphemism?
It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the Tango.
Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit?
It's where
more
we have
about
sex in a shower.
And
no.
Yeah. Let's.
Like, literally anytime.
That was a bizarre movie, and like the Jack. Jack Palance.
Yes,
Jack Palance. That was one of the oddest characters I've seen in a very, very long time.
How so?
Like, it was not... Like, the Joker is nonsensical because
that's
his...
The rat obsession, the overacting.
Yeah, but...
He's not even a Bond villain. He's like an Inspector Gadget villain.
Yeah, like he's nonsensical.
Just a dark room.
Without a reason for being nonsensical. Like, Joker's nonsensical because... That's who his character is, but he was just nonsense because I don't know why.
Well, he's a crazy supervillain. My favorite was when he's in the limo with his two like lieutenants, James Hong and that other guy, and they, at the beginning of the movie, like Tango takes down the tanker full of cocaine, and within minutes, Jack Palance is riding by in a limo as though he was just following the tanker the whole way. It's just a random stretch of highway. It's not like they're right outside his hideout and he's peeking through the blinds. Like they just were. True.
Another theme of henchmen and villains coming out of nowhere, right? Everyone on Twitter was commenting about the bell tower and Batman at the end. How the henchmen just appeared.
Those guys had been waiting there for 3 days. Yeah. And Jack Palance didn't even have like a concrete plan, like putting in a JCPenney's.
Right.
All evil in the late 80s begins.
At JCPenney.
Yes.
Oh.
I don't know. He was trying to like add some spice to that shitty town.
True.
Like, why did Dalton have to get in the way? I don't approve of Ben Gazzara's methods, but I approve of what his aim was.
Adam Thaz, Mike Pomero, who was here with us at headquarters most of the day, has a question. Better movie, Tango and Cash or Dukes of Hazzard?
Huh. Mm. Assholes. I will go with Tango and Cash.
Okay,
I think that's the right answer. Just because they draw pictures of their notes.
Yeah. Shout outs to some of our contributors and writers who were with us online today but couldn't be with us here in the basement. Eric Asperschlager, first and foremost, who not only wrote a kick-ass theme song for at this movie fest and 1989 week, but then was like playing live during the breaks. And tweeting with us all day.
Consistently funny tweets.
Yes. Stephanie Crawford, whose tweets I didn't see enough because of this weird Twitter issue. Doug tweeting with us from California. Hi, Doug. I don't know if you're watching right now. Maybe you're asleep already. Yeah. Brap, right. We're still very much in sync. Lexi, Alejandra.
Heath was with us.
Robin, of course. Robin. Heath was with us. Yeah, so it was nice to, even though we can't all be in the same room. My dream is to someday be in the same room.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
But even though we weren't.
Like we are. You know, like
that's right. Well, that's the thing. Even when we're in the room, we're not talking to each other that much because we're all busy tweeting and punching the microphone, apparently.
I will say that I think this
Charlie Lewis says Stephanie was killing. I wouldn't know. I didn't see her tweets. But
I will say this is the least I have tweeted during one of these because I was just kind of really enjoying the movies and enjoying other people's tweets.
Mm-hmm.
It just, I don't know. It was an outlier for me with that this movie fest.
Also, the movies, this is just like something I noticed this time. The movies seem better at your house because the TV's awesome. Like, I feel like I'm watching stuff on TV at home, and here I feel like I'm seeing them in a tiny town and country mall cinema. I really like it.
Erica, you should show them the screen.
It's because our floors are sticky, and I charged you to get in.
Oh, and it smells like pee.
Why do you think I come all the way out here?
Oh.
And people spill things down the stairs.
Oh, that did happen.
Oh.
There was a spill and everything.
And right outside your door is an arcade called Just for Fun.
What other reason would there be? Would you have an arcade? Really?
Tickets,
just for skill.
Wagering.
Right. I guess.
It could be money laundering for the mob because it's a all cash business.
I would like to launder these tokens, please.
They're tarnished, and I would like them to
be happy to pay for the bail.
Silver.
In Tango and Cash, did anyone else get the idea that Brian James had worked really hard and had a whole notebook of backstory?
Succeeded,
right?
Because if there's one thing everyone online noticed, it's that his accent was on point.
Yes.
Can we settle something once and for all?
Yeah.
How good is Batman
the movie?
Yeah,
let's not. People were loving it tonight, and I felt like, of course, you had to program it for a 1989 festival, and I'm always trying to end with a big movie that people, you know, a Jurassic Park.
No, it's not a slight. Like, I still like it. I just have such nostalgia for it. I can never, like, judge how good it is. That's all.
People were loving it. Yeah.
I want to throw out there, I think, Jonathan, you said it on the podcast once, I think you were maybe quoting Ebert, where there's that thing about your 17.
I'm not going to argue with when you guys were growing up and that was so iconic.
Yeah.
I think the movie's more iconic than good.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm not going to argue with iconic.
There's that thing where it's like you're when you're young, you, like Batman, or I think Ebert was talking about Godzilla movies or something like that. And he was saying like you appreciate, I could be misattributing it, but like I appreciate Batman when I'm 10 because it's Batman and I'm fucking 10.
Yeah.
It's the best thing ever. Then I'm 18 and I'm 21 and I'm hipster ironic and I'm like, oh, that one's like not like, well, I mean, it's that, you know, it's my, I, you, that thing where it's the Kevin Smith factor where everyone hates the fact that they liked something when they were 18. But now,
it's like
being,
liking things is a sign of weakness.
Exactly. It's better to be contrarian, right? That's where you find your strength. Now, as I'm older, I'm like, oh, fuck it, Batman's awesome. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just fun. Like, of course it's a mess. It's a giant mess. The movie's ridiculous. But so
it's a flawed movie, and I'm a flawed guy.
So I think it's like it's that scale.
That's
it's the Wishmaster ring. It's the Wishmaster ring. Everyone
currently showing his Wishmaster ring.
It depends on.
It was in his pocket all night.
Continuum of your life in film.
Was your wish to have Rob come down and join us for another After This Movie Fest?
More like I was waiting for a star to fall.
Oh.
Last question, and then we're going to end the podcast, and we'll stay on for like 5 or 10 extra minutes for those of you paying attention on Facebook if you have questions, or, you know, we can do a little bit of a bonus episode here for those of you paying attention on Facebook. But next year, what year should we do?
Ooh.
I'm going to listen to your suggestions and then possibly ignore them, so don't think
that's totally
someone
fair.
Someone here suggested 1994.
Okay.
I'm going to say, for the first time, I think you should venture into the 2000s.
Mm-hmm,
that's all I will say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I want to go contrarian. I want to go earlier. Let's do
like mid-40s.
Like yeah, let's do the thing. Let's do where the thing where the train comes into town. Yeah, like, yeah.
Train arriving.
There's
at
like a horse.
1895.
Yeah, that sounds good.
My suggestion would be 1964.
Mm-hmm. By the 90s, that's what Adam meant. He meant the 1890s. My suggestion would be like do the 70s, like late 70s.
Whoa. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I hate it when Mark tells me what I think.
Yeah. You're right. You're right.
I don't think you do.
You just got Mark explained.
I will second 1994 or 1990.
Okay. Uh-huh. Philly Rob?
Yeah, I had all this time to think about it.
This is dead air, Rob.
This is dead air.
People want to listen to this.
Late 70s. I'm going to go with Mark.
1972.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling that, too. Although, hey, I'm not going to say because Patrick knows what he's doing.
Yeah,
and
for reals.
It's just going to it's gonna happen, and then it's going to be perfect in retrospect.
Erica?
Barry Lyndon. Just Barry Lyndon.
Just Barry Lyndon.
Yeah. A lot of, a couple 94s on here, a 93, a couple 99s, a few 78s.
What are the big 1994 movies?
Speed, Lion King, Forrest Gump, Pulp Fiction.
Oh, Speed.
The Santa Claus.
I think only one of those might work.
Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing.
Hey, man, it wasn't.
And it's Shawshank. No, I know.
Get mad at them.
Oh, Rob's changing his.
Okay.
2000s because
there we go. Yes. Woo! Woo! All right.
as our family gets older, the nostalgia moves up, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So what I'm trying to say is as we, I think. The early 2000s would work better.
So you like the young stuff?
Yeah. I like the later stuff, the younger stuff.
Okay.
No, move on.
Wait, so now you're bailing on me?
No, I had a retort to Adam, and I want to say no.
Retort.
Pilot's cabin? I've been having trouble with words this weekend, and I accidentally called cockpit a pilot's cabin.
Well, you're not
it's okay.
You're
it's
not wrong.
Okay,
no. You're not wrong.
Go ahead.
Where I was going with that nonsense was your criteria when choosing.
Yep.
Is I think we need if we're going to pick a good year, we need to get inside your.
Mm-hmm.
You
don't want to be there.
We'll never.
It's a bad place to be. And
it's a dark, scary place.
It looks like that place with the spinning fans that Tango has.
Yeah, yeah. It's basically just the prison from Tango and Cash.
I thought it was the third act of Freddy's Dead.
You need 3D glasses to see inside. I don't know what
I'm showing them.
Showgirls. People want showgirls.
That's just Doug pretending to be lots of different people on Facebook. Do Showgirls.
Doug's already seen that movie.
He hasn't tweeted during it.
That's true. No one's tweeted during that movie.
Did he see that on the birthday where he was old enough to see it?
Yes. Yeah. I went with him to see it on his 17th birthday, and they didn't card him, so it was like, what was the point? Anyway, we are going to wrap up this podcast. We'll stay on a few extra minutes for those of you paying attention on Facebook Live, but this is the podcast that's going to actually go out into our feed next week, and so we will wrap it up. But once again, thank you to everybody who participated for one movie, for all five movies, who lost
thank
sleep
yeah.
who was tweeting, who was supporting this, who got excited about it. At this point, that's really the reason that we're doing this, is because we have a group of friends who love to do it, and it's super fun. We enjoy it a ton every year, right? We think it's the only one in the world, as far as we know.
Thank
so,
you, Patrick.
Yeah.
And Erica.
Yes.
For hosting us.
Yay. Yes.
Thank you,
Bew. And thank you, Bew, for filming us. And so on behalf of everyone here, we thank you guys for listening, and we will talk to you next week. Happy AF This Movie Fest.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to FS Movie.